D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Where is God in our suffering and trials?
How many people wrestle with that? Why, Lord? Why?
How can we find hope and even joy in the midst of our greatest adversity?
It was in the midst of tragedy that I probably, along with my family, wrestled with this reality the most.
We probe one of the greatest struggles of the faith on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. In this fallen world, there is no immunity from trial and tragedy. A common question sometimes asked is, where is God in all of this? Suffering has often been used as a reason for disbelief in God. But on today's program, you will discover where God is in our adversity and the promises He makes to us. We begin with Dr. Kennedy's successor at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale. Rob Pacienza grew up under Dr. Kennedy's preaching and teaching. And as you're about to see, even as a pastor, Rob and his beautiful family have not been exempted from suffering. Our own David Wright brings us more.
Well, someone who has committed his life to proclaiming and teaching the Word of God, this was a huge wake-up call for me. Death is not natural. There's nothing normal about death. This is not the way it's supposed to be.
Lily was our youngest child, and although she was so little, she was the most vocal about her faith. Lily died in the fall of 2017.
The Pacienza family suffered a great tragedy with the loss of their youngest child, Lily. But God was already at work in their lives in ways they could not yet see.
She had this little book that she loved to read, and it was Be Still and Know That I Am God, which comes from Psalm 46:10. And she would love to read this book, and she would do hand motions with it and facial expressions to the point where our family would laugh at her, and that the Lord would allow my daughter to repeat to me and recite to me Psalm 46:10, Be still and know that I am God. He was doing that. He was preparing our family to know that He was at work in this situation that otherwise maybe wouldn't make sense.
Lily was so full of life. I mean, anywhere she went, whether we were going on a walk, playing with her toys here at home, she would just dance and laugh and sing. There was no such thing as a stranger to Lily. She would go up to anyone and share the good news of Jesus Christ.
So we would be in Target or running errands, and she would commonly go up to people and say, "Do you know Jesus?"
I just remember her so vividly, just running through the house, running around the yard, running through the neighborhood, just talking, singing, laughing, and it just showed the evidence of the joy of the Lord just being in her, and I pray that that will always be her lasting memory and her lasting legacy, the joy of the Lord just being expressed through the life of a little three-year-old.
My favorite time with my children is Sunday mornings. I love sitting when they're little, putting them on my lap when we're at church, and looking at God's Word together. She would doodle in my Bible. She would scribble circles, and I would trace her hand, and I realized that that is such a gift to me that the Lord gave me, those precious moments of them sitting on my lap at church and writing their little scribbles.
Thank you. Preston and Lydia were 5 and 7 at the time. They're now 7 and 9. And these are not conversations you think you're having with your children who are in elementary school, but it all of a sudden overnight forced us to have conversations about death and dying, about suffering and grieving.
Our son was asking a lot of questions about his own faith, and we had the opportunity to take him to God's Word and look at John 1, where it talks about if you know that Christ is Lord, then you are a son or a daughter. And so being able to take him to the Word, well, that morning that we took him there and we're looking at it, it was one of those scribbles in my Bible that Lily, exactly a year before, to the date, which was only God's hand, had scribbled in that day, and I had traced her hand right over the passage. And so only God could do that.
Even when the Pacienzas were at their lowest point, they felt God's presence in the midst of the storm.
I think for myself and for my family, we've always known that suffering produces intimacy with God, but never have experienced it like we have now.
We know that God's presence is always with us. But I think the role of the Holy Spirit as coming and being our comforter and our counselor, we experienced in our suffering in a very intimate way.
Jesus talks about this idea of sending a comforter, a counselor. And I have to be honest, I mean, up until this point in my life, losing my 3-year-old daughter, I had known that intellectually, theologically, but never had been made known to me so personally. Than through the loss of Lily.
In the face of immense suffering, the Pacienzas relied on the fact that God is sovereign over all.
It was in the midst of tragedy that I probably, along with my family, wrestled with this reality the most. And on the one hand, the scripture says that God is sovereign and totally in control of all things. But on the other hand, he's always good. And it's the sovereignty of God and it's the goodness of God that allows us to reconcile how do bad things happen in a world that is supposedly controlled by an almighty God. I have to rest that he is in control always, but he's always good. That doesn't make it easy. That does not totally answer all questions, but they're the two truths I have to rest my head upon at night, his sovereignty and his goodness.
Well, we believe in our family that God's word is living and active. And so as we read God's word, we find that he guides us and he comforts us. In particular with our situation, we experienced him remind us of truth, even in those early moments.
And I began digging deeper into God's word. And as I began to study God's word for myself personally, as I began to study God's word for my family, over and over again, I kept seeing this theme of hope. Hope in the midst of darkness, hope in the midst of brokenness, hope in the valley. A go-to passage for our family, Psalm 23, that God is with us even in the valley of the shadow of death, that we have a God. This was such a moment of healing and hope for me and my family, that we have a God that is not removed from our suffering, but we have a God that enters into the suffering. And we see this primarily in the person of Jesus Christ.
In Psalm 23, when we see the Good Shepherd in the valley, when he speaks of the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't always mean just death, but it means difficulty that we experience. And the shepherd goes from being in front of us to being next to us, alongside of us, and leading us right where we're at.
It's amazing to think that God gives us the hope that is to come and how that truly does move us and empower us and gives us hope for today. The reality that Lily, who we know confessed her faith in Jesus Christ, even though she was just 3, we called her the youngest evangelist that we knew. But the hope that she had in Jesus, the hope that we have that we will see her again is such an unbelievable comfort. It doesn't make it easy, doesn't take away the pain, doesn't take away the tragedy of what happened and even the grief that we experience. But it's in the midst of the grief that we have the hope that we will be together one day and there will be such a beautiful reunion.
Through this heart-wrenching experience, God has turned tragedy into triumph, using the Pacienza's experience to help advance the kingdom of God.
If you're going through suffering or you're experiencing brokenness or broken things the way things shouldn't be, that God's grace is going to be specific to you. And you can't imagine that. We say this all the time, that the Lord has been our strength and our comforter, our rock, our everything. There's only hope with heaven and with the gospel. And so I can't imagine from the moments of experiencing our worst experience to the sorrow that we experience daily, not having a rock to go to and know that the Lord is at work and to experience His comfort.
We have prayed from the very beginning of this tragedy that God, would you use this story of suffering, the story of Lily's tragic death to bring many people to the faith, to bring many people to the foot of the cross. God brought Lily to our family and to this world for 3 short years, but we pray that those 3 short years would make a profound impact for all of eternity.
Despite all the efforts of ancient alchemists, none were ever able to turn a base metal like lead into gold. But our Almighty God is the great eternal alchemist who turns all the dross of our lives into gold.
The alchemy of God, the alchemy of grace, all things work together for good.
In his newly republished book, Turn It to Gold, Dr. D. James Kennedy tackles the difficulties we all face. Contact us today to receive your copy of Turn It to Gold, one of Dr. Kennedy's most beloved and inspiring books, so that you can be encouraged or share assurance with a friend that God's promises are the richest gold now and forever.
Reverend Rob Pacienza is my own pastor and very good friend as well. It's been encouraging and even inspiring to see how God has worked in Rob and Jen's family, even through the greatest tragedy a parent can experience. From this end of the lens, there is no way for us to see all that God is doing, or for us to see clearly how He is bringing glory from it. Instead, we are called to trust in the promises of an all-good, all-wise, almighty God, who gave His own Son for us, proving that He will not withhold any good thing. Dr. D. James Kennedy shines further light on this in his message, The Uses of Adversity.
I suppose that there is nothing that causes more people to stumble in the matter of faith than the problem of suffering. Because there is none of us who is exempt. We all face it at one time or another in our lives. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, the Bible says, and how true that is. How many people wrestle with that? Why, Lord? Why? Have those words ever been echoed throughout the chambers of your soul in the midst of some dark and starless night? They may well have been. Well, listen then as I speak to you about the uses of adversity. First of all, troubles and sorrows are used to capacitate us for the office of sympathy. They are used to make us compassionate, to be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, in the Old Testament, when the priest was ordained to the priesthood, he had water sprinkled on his head and on his hands and on his feet. And we who are the priests of God in the universal priesthood of all believers in the new covenant, we ourselves experience a baptism of tears that capacitates us for this office of sympathy. Where did Paul get the ink to write his comforting epistles? Or where did David get the ink to write those solacing psalms? Or where did John get the ink to write that tremendously hopeful conclusion to the book of Revelation? They got it, each one, from their own tears. Tears, agony in solution, a distillation of sorrow. When any man has gone through the whole curriculum, when he has taken a course in dungeons and imprisonments, in shackles and chains, in whips and scourges, in rocks and shipwrecks, then he has received his master's degree and is thoroughly qualified for the office of sympathy. Ah, my friends, that's part of the training that we have in Christ, to be part of the priesthood of all believers. We will never be like Jesus without suffering, my friends. Jesus, who is the most desirable person that ever lived, was typified as what? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And if we would be like Jesus, we will have to learn how in the valley of the shadow. It will be in many a dark night that we will hear his voice and know his spirit working in our lives, if we will ever be like Jesus. Sorrows, it is said, humanize the race. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But sorrows Christianize the believer. They make us more like Jesus if we are yielded to his will. The trouble is, when they come upon us, we think that God is destroying us. But he's just really tuning us like a harp. When you tune a harp, you know, you lean it on your shoulder. And sometime God has to put us over his shoulder and tune us, that we might make more beautiful music for him. But even more, the Bible tells us of all of us who are his own, that we are in Christ and he is in us. Therefore, all of our pain is in his heart. And even now, as Christ is gathering up all of the suffering and sorrow and pain of the world until the final consummation of the redemption of the world, Jesus is not some far away, distant God, unconcerned and uncaring. He's right here in the midst of it. He's enduring more of it than any human being ever has. And he cares. And he is not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but he sympathizes. Jesus wept. And Christ gives us the power to bear it, the grace to bear it, and even more, lastly, to overcome it. He hath delivered, he doth deliver, he will yet deliver us. Beyond the cross, there is the glory of Easter morning.
Beyond the agony of the crucifixion, there was the blessedness of paradise. And there is that hope, that unshakable hope, that whatever comes to us, God will enable us to endure it, and God will deliver us from it unto that great place which He has prepared for us. How magnificent that is.
Are you able to see God's hand in the trials and tragedies of life? Do you find yourself asking, how could God let this happen to one of His children? Deep and unshakable biblical truth is the only remedy and hope we have for living in this fallen world. Too often, even well-meaning Christians give false answers to suffering, teaching that it's never God's will and that we can be free of it if we just have enough faith. That answer is not only harmful, but it's profoundly unbiblical. False cures can never cure true problems. It's essential to have true hope, founded on the solid rock of God's promises. And that's why we want you to have one of Dr. D. James Kennedy's classic books as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. It's called Turn It to Gold: How God Turns Adversity into Triumph. And we have just republished it, making this treasure available for the first time in decades. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. In Turn It to Gold, Dr. Kennedy tackles the difficult subject of suffering in order to help you come to terms with trials and hardships in your own life. He shows how you can cure worry, overcome obstacles, and find true happiness. In a time of great trial in our nation, fortify your spiritual roots with this deep biblical nourishment. And if you're able to give a donation of $60 or more, we will thank you by sending you Turn It to Gold plus the 4-DVD series of Dr. Kennedy's messages, Living Without Fear. In these messages, he explains how we can overcome our fears and live a life that is freed from bondage and anxiety. This set includes messages on banishing the fear of death, ending financial fears, and more. It's just the antidote you need to the tumult we see in the news cycle every day now. Whatever your disappointment, trouble, heartache, or grief, God promises to turn it to gold if you will trust Him. God will make certain that every event that takes place in your life will pay interest to the eternal well-being of your soul. Find out how to put that promise to work in your own life in Dr. Kennedy's newly republished book, Turn It to Gold: How God Turns Adversity to Triumph, which we will send to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the work of this ministry. And we will also include the 4-DVD set of Dr. Kennedy's messages, Living Without Fear, as our thanks for your donation of $60 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. One of the most beloved verses in the entire New Testament is Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. But how can that be when we see tragedy all around us, and when we have experienced pain and loss and dejection in our own lives. Some have brushed Romans 8:28 away as a simplistic slogan that fails to deal with real suffering. Well, if we're not careful, it can be used that way. But God can promise us that He works all things to our good, because the worst event that ever happened became the best event that ever happened. Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, was accused of a crime He did not commit, given a sham show trial, and executed on a Roman cross, even though He was the only perfect, sinless human being who ever lived. But Jesus did this for us, for you and for me. On the cross, He was paying the penalty for our sins. In the ultimate irony of the gospel, the worst crime that has ever been committed, the judicial murder of the Son of God, has become the best thing that has ever happened to us. Because by repenting of our sins and receiving Christ by faith, we can be forgiven for our own sins, and not only forgiven, but inherit eternal life. This is the salvation Jesus accomplished on the cross for us and validated through His glorious resurrection. If you are listening today and you have not yet repented and received Christ, you can do that right now. Call upon Jesus and receive Him by faith. If that's the desire of your heart, pray along with me right now. Lord Jesus, I have committed treason against a holy God with my sins, but I reject those sins now. Please, Lord, come into my heart and save me. I accept the free gift of everlasting life that You purchased with Your body and Your blood. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer in faith, we have a book we want to send you at no cost or obligation to you. It's Dr. Kennedy's book for new believers to guide you in your relationship with Christ. It's called Beginning Again. Contact us to receive a copy today, and may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth, defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The sanctity of life is not just some odd little view off on the side that we can ignore. It is the foundation of Western civilization.
Margaret Sanger said that her desire was to stamp out the Negro population. It's unsurprising that over 70% of all Planned Parenthood facilities are in neighborhoods that are majority populated by people who have higher melanin content. I don't think that's an accident.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.